Hey Google, play USA Football Coach and Coordinator Podcast.
Sure, USA Football Coach and Coordinator Podcast. Here's where you left off.
This week in the Coach and Coordinator Podcast series, we get coached up on how to defend the option. Keith helps us prepare for the last play. We get sharp in practice. We learn how we can get effort and commitment from our players and innovative ways to plan practice. Monday in the game plan series, Keith and Charlie talked to Art Kaufman, former FBS defensive coordinator, about defending option style teams.
You either have power or you have position on an offensive lineman. Do not ever give up one to gain the other. So if I'm a right three technique and the back's away from me and they're going to zone me, I've widened my alignment so I have position on that blocker. If he jump reaches me, meaning that he has no power, he just went for position on me, and I come off straight ahead, I may lose my position, but I will gain power. And by gaining power, I will press him up the field, and if I have to backdoor him, I know those are some of the things that we talk about, and I will backdoor him. But don't ever give up one after the ball snap to gain the other back. I see too many times when defensive linemen start running sideways because they're hollering, oh, I got reached. Hey, whatever you are after the snap is what you are.
Tuesday, Keith is in his notebook about last play options.
Let's think first about these situations. So some things you need to go before your team goes onto the field is how much time is left on the clock. Do you truly have only a couple plays left, in which case a timeout could help you there. In some situations, a timeout might not help. You might only have one play left and you're going to have to execute that. So knowing the situation as far as time, how you want to manage it, how you want to use your timeouts is important. Do you need 3 points? Do you need a touchdown? Again, place on the field kind of comes into play because you might, let's say, need only a field goal, but maybe there's 8 seconds left on the clock. And in this case, maybe the yardage isn't going to be enough with 8 seconds to get you into field goal range and call a timeout. Those are things you need to consider. You need to know what you have in your game plan that you're going to use to attack those areas, and that's going to work into this as well.
Wednesday, Keith and Andy talk about sharpening our players, whether it's for a playoff push or grooming them for next season.
I think I would call it maybe layering drills, but adding some layers, some mental decision-making, some reads to it, but kind of getting more out of the same periods we've been doing with a couple tweaks so that we can maximize the limited time that we do have. And when I say limited time we do have, you know, it's probably the right thing at this point in the season based on your practice schedule or where you're at to keep the guys fresh, but we still need to be fast and sharp. So how do we maximize some of our old standby drills to maybe increase the total learning in practice while decreasing the time?
We took a pause for the calls on Thursday, so we doubled up on Friday. We had BK first talking about getting effort and commitment when it comes to our players.
Now I want to introduce one other thing, or at least a dynamic that pops up with that, and then come back and talk about these two things together. When there is various effort levels and commitment levels, there's a number of things that you see in a program from players when they do that. Anyone who's coached has had the experience and has the experience all the time, right? There's the players who do not just everything they're asked, but they look for ways to do even more things. They look for ways to be ahead of the curve. They look for ways to be prepared. They capture every opportunity to get better. And they're frankly your most reliable players, and you count on them to take care of themselves. And some of them you can even count on to take care of other players. Not all of them, but some of them. Then there's the next group that will do everything you ask, but if you don't ask them to do it, they don't do it. Then there's players who will eventually do the stuff you ask, but you have to hound them. Then there are players who won't do the things that you ask. They'll do most of them, but if you are not on top of them, they will find ways to whatever it is, or they'll be late or whatever it be. Then there's players who only do half the things that you ask, and you keep running down the line, and there's this distribution, right? Does that basic distribution resonate with you, Keith? Is that similar to your coaching experience?
Yeah, definitely. And I think the thing I heard as you went through that kind of continuum of where these guys might fall is, you know, you hit a part right there all the way to the end where you had those guys who were compliant, ranging all the way to the guys who were defiant. And I think, you know, I've talked to you about this before. I've heard you talk about it. That's not a situation you want to be in, really, with either of those groups.
Then lastly, we talked to the sports doctors about innovation and practice planning.
Yeah, I mean, I could start. I mean, you talked a little bit about seemingly addressing some of your athletes' needs or whatever, and it's more than just throwing drills down on a sheet of paper and some sort of plan. And I would concur that, yeah, it is deeper than that. But the literature on like effective teaching practices, learning practices, coaching practices, the base foundation, it's kind of start with developing some different objectives that you're trying to accomplish in whatever training session or practice segment that you would be in. So for example, you mentioned some defensive individual or perhaps offensive individual. So, and then, you know, you would have that broken down into different position groups. So, and then you would have, again, what objectives you're trying to accomplish in that perhaps defensive individual period with your group. And then thinking about how you're going to accomplish those objectives. And that's basically what you would be doing with the different drill sets, drills. You might call them practice structures or practice designs. We may call them drills again, but that's a strategy to get athletes to
to
achieve the objective. And that's kind of what we're kind of thinking about with that pedagogical strategy. And that could be a drill, but we can embed other different strategies in there. And then the final piece of that kind of framework of effective teaching and coaching in regards to strategies would be the evaluation piece afterwards. So how do you know if you met the objective or determined? And this can be useful for reflective practice. And what we talked about last one would be if you kind of have these target objectives, and then at the end of a couple sessions or whatever, after you implement your strategies, we want to evaluate that to see if we obtain that objective. So that's kind of the framework of effective teaching, coaching practices, objective, specific strategy to accomplish those objectives, and then evaluate.
As the season keeps rolling, so will we. So subscribe to the Coach Coordinator Podcast on SoundCloud and iTunes, as well as Google Play. National Conference is around the corner with confirmed keynote speaker PJ Fleck. So don't forget to sign up at usafootball.com/NC19podcast. And check out our blogs on blogs.usafootball.com.